sponsored by Inbound.org, an online community. Visit Inbound.org today, where membership is free and the discussions are priceless.
Inbound.org. We're on a mission to help a million marketers. Together, we're smarter. We can share more ideas, opportunities, connect with each other individually, and stay on top of this fast-moving industry.
And you can find us on Twitter at InboundOrg.
Nurture and delight.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our show. We are excited about being here. I am here with my co-host, Johnny Hernandez. How are you, Johnny?
I'm awesome, Daniel. Thanks.
That's good. Well, folks, we want to encourage you. Today our topic is love in the workplace. What's love got to do with it? Like that old song, what's love got to do with it? So call in, folks. So we'd love to hear. Last week we had a powerful conversation with some folks around the country that were interested in our topic about women leading. And today we're talking about love, so it's going to be a hot topic. 347-677-1965. You can just dial in, and we'll see you there, and we'll bring you into the conversation. I also want to mention that, you know, that we want to know what you are looking for in topics. What kind of topics really get you going, and what do you want us to talk about? And then, more importantly, for those of you that might be looking for our past shows, we are now on iTunes. So all you have to do is type in the name of our radio show, and you will find it there, and it will be exciting because all 8 shows that we've done so far are there, and you can have them downloaded to your phone every time we have a new show. So that's exciting stuff. So, Johnny, love in the workplace. Where do we start with that?
You know, it's crazy.
What does that even mean?
Well, I think, first of all, you almost have to demystify it, right? I think that traditionally, as soon as you look at the title of the show and you start having the conversation, it was funny because I had a couple conversations already today and with folks. They said, what's the show about today, Johnny? And I read them the title verbatim, and they said, so what specifically does that mean, right? Is it, you know, you're not talking about passionate love, right? And it's really the compassionate end of it. And it's you know, we even put in the heading today, we talked about, you know, it's been an electric fence issue for, you know, our human resources departments forever, and that's not what we're talking about. You know, you go into environments today, and it's very natural to see employees hugging, you know, giving each other kisses on the cheek, where in many cases you see leaders still today cringe at that, and they immediately jump to the potential, you know, litigation or risk that accompanies that type of affection that's shown, and it's innocent affection.
But let's talk about why that's so. I mean, this you just said something that's really kind of the pinnacle of what we're discussing today. The reason why that's been such an electric fence for human resources is not because it's allowable or not allowable, but because men are uncomfortable with it. And men have been basically the people who've been running our companies. So as we began to bring women into the workforce, that began to shift to a place where we are today. And so it is becoming a little bit more status quo, as you said, to see people, you know, giving themselves a hug or a kiss on the cheek. And by all means, folks, there is not just the Greeks have 4 different kinds of love. The Greek language has 4 different kinds of love. The kind of love we're talking about is not romantic. It is a caring, compassionate love. You know, where we're compassionate toward each other, where the good of all is at the stake. Southwest believes that their customers are first. No, excuse me. Their employees are first. Their customers are second, and their boardroom members are third. What do you think about that, Johnny? That's like, wow. No wonder you ride that airlines, and it's always a good experience. Always.
You do, and I think it's the other thing. It's a differentiated experience. Now, you can say, I don't like the way that they board. They don't like things of that nature. But ultimately, in the end, what you can't debate is that it's a different environment. It's a different culture. When you get on there, the way the flight attendants behave in a very professional but fun manner, it's different. And I would even go back to when you talk about leaders, you talk about men and being uncomfortable. In many cases, if you stop and think about it, and part of the reason this is difficult is because from an executive perspective in any organization, from any employee in any organization, it's essential in order for you to truly be happy, forget the financial aspects of it, but to truly be happy, you have to feel valued and respected, no matter what your role is.
Yep.
And when you start getting further up in the hierarchical ladder in any organization, titles tend to falsely give you that sense of value and respect. And I say falsely because in many cases when you see leaders move from one organization to the other or make life changes, in some cases you quickly realize, was it the job that defined them, the title that defined them, or are they truly complacent and happy with themselves? But going back to my original note, that the further up you get in an organization, VP, senior VP, executive president, CEO, whatever it is, in a lot of cases that perceived respect and value comes just because you have the title. And for line-level employees, mid-level managers, that respect and value is very, very important. And although they're getting the paycheck, it's a known fact. I mean, it's been proven, the correlations have been done many, many times. It's happiness is a key driver in financial and customer outcomes. And I mean, it's no debate. People say, well, is the customer's experience really that much better? Well, you tell me. I mean, it's about as obvious as it comes. It's 1 + 1 = 2. If you have employees high-fiving and buying each other cups of coffee and genuinely caring, knowing what each other's children and kids are up to, well, of course the client and customer experience is going to be better because that's infectious. The other thing I would share with you is this, as we get into this whole further into this dialogue. Positive energy, regardless whether you're a Zen master, get into meditating, whatever your how deep you think this is, positive energy is very, very real, and it's also very infectious. Now the same goes for negative, but to keep this thing positive, positive energy in any work environment is very real and it's very infectious, and that goes beyond the employees, it goes beyond the clients. And it permeates in the organization's brand, and so it's to me it's a no-brainer. I've seen it done very, very well, and I've seen in some cases where it hasn't been done so well. And I think Southwest.
Well, we can see that in our everyday experiences, no matter where we go. There's a book actually, folks, that if you go out and get it, and you're really interested in how Southwest actually was able to do this, Ken Blanchard and Colleen Barrett, who was former CEO of Southwest Airlines, wrote a book, Lead with Love, L-U-V, a different way to create real success, putting people first. They really did a good job of kind of talking about all this, and I want to dive into it a little bit deeper, but they say that leadership is about going somewhere. If you and your people don't know where you're going, then your leadership doesn't matter. Now think about that, folks. Another way that I've heard it said is that if you think you're a leader and nobody's following, you're just on a very long walk.
Right on.
I'm like,
true,
ouch,
right?
Ouch,
right?
But true. So let's take, I was reading on the internet. I Googled this topic to see kind of what people were talking about there, and the word spirituality, Johnny, came up as another word for love in the business environment. This was a business article that they were saying if you're uncomfortable with the word love, and I think that's what people are uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable with the word, and they're uncomfortable because no one's ever taught them the differences of love, the different levels of love. Everyone thinks of love as romantic. They don't think love as friendship. They don't think love as compassion. They don't think love. They think love as sexual and romantic. And it's quite, furthest from the truth. Buddha and Jesus both taught the laws of love, compassion, understanding, forgiveness, looking at the workplace where the decision that you make is good for everyone involved, not just ourselves. Because we've been in that. Johnny, both you and I both have been in companies and situations where the individual leading or the individual that we may have been dealing with is me first, me second, me third. Oh, and by the way, me too. Which there's no space for that. And then I guess that what that does from a business perspective is it comes around and it speaks to the culture of the company. You know, what is the culture of your company? And it doesn't matter, folks, if you're a multi-billion-dollar company or you have three employees, because that business takes on the persona of the people in charge.
You know, Dan,
and that could be a microcosm all the way down to stores. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be all the way down to individual stores, but it takes on the personality of the person in charge.
That's exactly right, and I think you said a mouthful there, especially talk about Buddha and Jesus, and just about the laws of love. And I think that's what gets so lost in our world today, is we get so caught up in what's best for me, and even we get caught up in what's best for my family.
Yep.
And we joke about the saying, "I like you, but I love me best." And there's times where probably that's appropriate and suitable,
right?
But not in a broader term. And I think that as I think it is when people say, "Yeah, but what does that look like in the workplace?" And I would challenge you to think of this, those leaders out there. And I'm not even saying you have to be a leader of a major corporation. If you're a parent, if you're a sibling, if any role you have some level of leadership, whether it's your local church, you name it. But true compassion in any environment comes when you care as much, if not more, about the other individuals than yourself. And that's incredibly difficult in today's environment, and it even gets more difficult when you get into a corporate or business environment. And so when people say, but what does that look like? So I want to change my organization. We're struggling. I hear what you're saying. I believe in it, but it's not anything that I've ever been good at. You know, one of our callers last week said something I thought that it just struck me. Actually, I made a note of it. And she made the comment, we were talking about women in the global evolution in today's environment. And one of the statements she made was, we feel that we have to be two different people, a different person at work than we do at home. And I think that's part of the challenge. And one of the things that I would the easiest filter that I use is, as a leader, it's what type of questions do you lead with when you engage with your employees? Is your first question, the XYZ was due at 9 o'clock this morning, it's 8:30, are you going to have it to me on time? Or is it something more along the, how's your spouse? How's your husband, your wife, your significant other, your life partner? How are the kids? You know, is Daniel graduating next week? Things like that help connect the individual before you connect the employee. And to me, that's always been a solid filter and a simple filter. It's something that's very, very easy to begin with if you've been challenged with it and try to engage your employees in a very affectionate way. Now, here's the other thing I would share, Dan, is employees know if it's genuine. So,
oh yeah.
Even if you're not good at it and you're trying and it comes across clunky as heck, they know it's genuine. They'll see the effort. Now, if on the other hand, you're handing out kudos, all sorts of love fest, hugs and kisses every 3 feet, well, you're going to, then you're going to be, that will show up as well. But your employees know when you're generally out there trying to make a difference and show them that you value them, you respect them for who they are, and you're not worried about where they exist within the hierarchical aspects of the organization.
Easy for you to say.
Right.
You know, Johnny, I want to say this because this is interesting. And then we actually have a caller, and I'm not sure where they're from, but we're going to let them chime in. Profit, listen to this. Profit is the applause you get from creating a motivating environment for your people and taking care of your customers. And that's really what we're talking about here. We're not saying that you need to all of a sudden, be running around with hearts and flowers and stuff. We're talking about the need for compassion, humanistic compassion. You know, and earlier I was talking about, changing the word and that we're using the word spirituality. I actually did some research on that word. I never finished because it just went on and on. Why do we have to change the word? Just get comfortable with it. You know, we're not, again, there's four different kinds of love that we could be coming from, one being compassion and friendly platonic compassion and understanding for each other as human beings. Listen, we have a caller in. I don't know who you are. It's a 205 area code. Well, I'm gonna bring you on and see what you have for us today. Hello.
Hey, gentlemen. Hi. This is Fred. How are you?
Hey, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Hey. I loved the show last week. As a matter of fact, I sent it to my daughter to listen to. And
thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's just a fantastic show. And I'm listening to your show today, and I'm thinking about compassionate leadership, right? And Johnny, you've been that role model for me throughout my career, so thank you for that.
Thank you, Fred.
Because when you do exactly what you're talking about, you get a lot of traction in the business when people know you care about them. And I think when we think about compassionate leaders or relationships as we go on our journey, what we think may be a compassionate relationship and a meaningful changes when there's a big change, like a reorg or something like that. The people you think that are your friends all of a sudden show up totally different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of sorts out who the important people are in your life, right, as far as even work and in your personal relationships. So I think that's a big factor is don't let that journey that you're on thinking that somebody is very compassionate and cares about you, but all of a sudden you find out really who does or doesn't when you change roles or there's a reorg to help you change roles. So just a point about compassionate leadership. And, you know, Johnny, you've been mentoring that and that same message for as long as I've known you. So it really makes a difference. So thank you for that. Love
thank
the
you,
show.
Fred.
That's all
what
I
was
have
that, Johnny?
For today.
Oh, thank you, Fred, man. I really appreciate that. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate your comments. So, folks, if you want to call in, we're here for you, 347-677-1965. Again, you know, when we get into this whole place of love and compassion, you know, so, Johnny, I think it'd be really cool to just kind of how does that show up in, you know, for – I don't even it really – well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's tough in a corporate environment. How does love show up in business? You know, and the reason why I backed up a little bit is because I was thinking about the big machine of corporate and how that machine sometimes doesn't allow for the flexibility of an individual's personality, but then there's a part of me that says, yeah, BS, maybe it does. What are your thoughts about that? How does a person show up? I mean, you were a great example when you were an executive for as many years as you were of not letting the status quo or the collective consciousness of error thoughts define how you were as an individual, which is why you still have friends even though you're not an executive there anymore, versus the person who maybe isn't themselves in the workplace. Maybe they are loving at home, but they get to work and they think they have to be something else, something that we discussed last week with women. How does a person show up with that way, coming from that place of compassion or love in the workplace?
Well, I think you can go as far back. And Fred, you're listening. Thank you for the very kind comments. And I would share with you as well, a gentleman that just called in, he and I was blessed to have Fred work in my organization for many, many years. And I would tell you, if there was a model of a world-class leader, a compassionate human being who was absolutely loved by his employees, Fred is a great example of that. So thanks for the call, Fred, and thanks for the comments, Daniel. I think for me, I would tell you, you could go back and you could say, because you don't want to dishearten anyone either, but for me, I could tell you that it began with my childhood. I had amazing parents. And, yep, I came from a Hispanic family where every weekend we were over at Grandma's and the family drove from no matter where they live. I mean, Daniel, you can appreciate that as much as anyone. But,
yep.
Right? But beyond that, I was always taught right from the beginning that the whole platinum rule, treat others as they would like to be treated, that people mattered most in life. It wasn't about things. It wasn't material. It wasn't about all the other noise in life. It was about people. Now, did I get confused the older I got as to what was most important? Yes, I'm a human being, and like anyone else, you know, I worked my way up in the organization and had three beautiful children, a wonderful wife, a wonderful second wife, and you know, along the way, I had some challenges. But the one thing that I can tell you that I never lost sight of and this may sound extreme, but no matter who my employees were, and I worked, was blessed to work all over the country in different capacities with thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of employees, either direct or indirect reports. And in every case, I would be I'm completely honest when I say I loved every one of them, because never was there any confusion in my mind of one simple thing. By myself, I can only get so much done. And I can tell you, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. I don't have the aptitude to be a rocket scientist. What I do know, though, is if you surround yourself with amazing, compassionate, caring, genuine human beings, they will carry you, and they will help you get whatever it is done that you need to get done. And things like not just the happiness of the employees, but things like reduced turnover, fewer absences, you know, the better client and customer experience. It's such a different environment. You know, I got an email or text this morning from someone who wanted to watch or listen to the show today, and they said, "I'm sorry, I'm going to miss it, but I'm actually doing performance appraisals." And I thought that was interesting because my head immediately went one direction. And it's, right? Remember it? It's like shaving eyeballs. It's like, oh, my
God.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got employees. I got to write all these, and I got to schedule time to sit down. I'm in this and this and this. But the other part of me went to the part that the way I viewed it. I loved doing performance appraisals. The administrative stuff, I'm a human being. I couldn't stand it. I don't enjoy sitting down and doing those types of things. But I will tell you, that one opportunity, and I made it a frequent opportunity, but where it was the formal conversation to do a performance review, I'd take at least 2 days to do a performance appraisal. One day was spent on the employee, their performance, their contributions to the organization, their wins, their opportunities, and planning for the future in terms of how we were going to optimize their performance. And the other day was solely spent on them as human beings, talking about their spouses, their family, their children, what their personal aspirations were, and then building a plan. If it wasn't to work for me for the rest of their life, which quite frankly, all of that would have been good for my ego, certainly wouldn't necessarily been good for them, but we would spend a day helping work on developmental and future plans for where they want to go and he or she want when they grew up. And it came easier to me because I guess I was just born with the fact that I knew I needed amazing people around me to be successful. I still know that today. That's why I do the radio show with you, Daniel, right? On my own, I could pull it off. But that's just my perspective and the benefits of being a compassionate leader and a loving leader. And I'm certainly not a master by any means, but I can tell you, even my remedial approach and having guys like Fred and seeing people like that perform and the results, the things they can get out of people that typically, I've seen people been written off in their career. He or she's done, they haven't performed an XYZ role, and they go and work for people like a Fred, and it's like, oh my God, they blossom into these amazing human beings. It's the same person. It's just a different leader. And to me, that's a great testament to it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it reminds me of a scripture from Luke where Jesus says, listen, all of you, love your enemies. Do not do good to those who hate you. Pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Implore God's blessing on those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, let him slap the other two. If someone demands your coat, give them your shirt too. And a quote, kind of putting this more simply in today's vernacular, if someone is mean or hurtful to you, love them anyway.
Right.
Does someone ignore you? Love them anyway. Is someone uncomfortable to be around you? Love them anyway. Has someone resisted your attempts to show love to them? Love them anyway. And finally, has someone taken advantage of your love? Love them anyway. And I think that you know, and you can take love and put whatever makes you comfortable, compassion, spirituality. But at the end of the day, it really is about being global citizens of the world, you know. And when we're global citizens of the world, we begin to not just think of ideas that we keep to ourselves, but we actually act them out. We act them out in real life toward others, not just in the workplace or not just at home, excuse me, with our kids, but in the workplace. And we begin, you know, to be comfortable. I think it becomes uncomfortable for people in corporate when they're uncomfortable.
That's right.
It's not uncomfortable to care for someone. It's uncomfortable when you think that there's some alternative or hidden agenda, that it becomes uncomfortable because everybody feels that, that energetic funk that permeates a room when someone says, oh, that was inappropriate. At the end of the day, you know, folks, what I said earlier is very true about profits. Profits is the reward that you get as a company when you're taking care of your employees and your customers. And I think that just like Southwest Airlines, there's many, many companies. I want to tell a quick story before we leave here. Many years ago, I was asked to speak at a corporate event. I wasn't just the keynote speaker. I was also the host of the television show that we were doing there and the moderator for a group of high-level corporate executives. When I got to Omaha, Nebraska, oh, yeah, that's I remember going out. I was real mad because I didn't want to go to Omaha. But I went to Omaha, Nebraska. And when I got there early, so I went into a bar to get something to eat. And so I was sitting there eating, you know, just kind of thinking about where, you know, what my presentation was going to be about. And this young man comes up to me out of nowhere. And he's got a heavy, you know, Spanish accent, you know, Mexican accent. And he says, "You look pretty fancy in that suit. We don't have guys like you around here." I just looked at him and I kept eating. And the bartender looks at me like, "You want me to get him?" No, he ain't bothering me. Leave him alone. Anyway, end of the story was is that I went to get him something to eat. When I came back, he wasn't there. But what he said to me before he left was, "Never judge nobody. Just because you're in that fancy suit, never judge anybody." So when I went over to do my work, I had done some research on a report that Yale had done on the top words that are in mission statements for companies. I asked the group who was – I'm taking all the big companies, Walmart, Hallmark, you name it, they were all there. And I said to them, in your mission statements, what words are missing? They couldn't answer my question, so I told them, I said, a study at Harvard said these are the main words that are in your mission statements. These are the two that are not. Compassion, love, or trust are not in any single one of your mission statements. How do you expect your company to profit and people to want to stay there if that is the norm? So, you know, what do you think about it? We got about 3 minutes, Johnny. What are your thoughts about that?
I think you're absolutely right, Dan. I think, and those are the conversations that, because it's difficult for organizations to tie monetary gain to, they just stay away from it. And the other part of it is, once you put it in there, you got to live it. And when it comes to the squishy feely things like that, that's difficult. So what you have to narrow it down is say, what does that environment look like? And I think it's important to understand it's not an environment, it's a culture. And that's one of the things that you and I both work with organization and individuals, that shaping culture is very, very difficult. And not everyone is born and blessed with that aptitude, so that's why they need help. But I would say things like, you know, you talk about public recognition. You talk about showing a genuine interest in the employee and actually making time, finding time. And I know we're short of time, but this is what I would share before we go is, it's real easy when someone comes to you and says, I remember this is the quote, an employee will come to you and say, "You got a minute, boss?" You've got one of two ways you can answer that. You can either say, "No, I don't. I'll catch up with you later," or you can process it differently. Knowing at some point you have to make a minute, you need to make a minute for that employee, what's in the way of getting it done right now? Unless you got a hot client or customer issue, do it now. Because that in itself shows the value and respect that the human being needs and deserves. And to remember, and this is the last thing, is that everything matters. No matter the craziness that you got going on in your life, when you're engaging with your employee, they've got things going on in their life. Just show a genuine interest and show them you care about it, and it goes so far. There's no fancy books. There's nothing. I mean, this can go on and on and on, and we could extend this as we will in future shows, but that would be my
We're out of time, folks. Thank you, Johnny, and thank you, Fred, for calling in. It's been a wonderful show. We want to encourage you to please interact with us on social media, send us an email, give us a call. We want to hear from you. We want to know if there's other topics that you might be interested in. And remember, you can go to iTunes and hear all of our archives that are going to be there. So thank you again. Until next week, have a wonderful, beautiful, blessed day.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit Daniel's website at danielgutierrez.com. You can also call Johnny and Daniel directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.
Sponsored by Inbound.org, an online community. Visit Inbound.org today, where membership is free and the discussions are priceless.
Inbound.org. We're on a mission to help a million marketers. Together, we're smarter. We can share more ideas, opportunities, connect with each other individually, and stay on top of this fast-moving industry.
And you can find us on Twitter at Inbound.org.
Nurture and delight.